Welcome to the Mystery Twins Detective Agency. I'm Liam S. Smith, and I sleep in a coffin to recharge my voodoo powers.
I'm Regan Lloyd, and like John Farnham, I'm just coming back for one last tour.
And like John Farnham... Wait, no.
He's not dead.
Wait, is John Farnham the voice trying to understand it?
Yeah.
Okay, great. For a second I thought that was, Billy...
Idol. Holiday.
No.
Bragg.
Jimmy Barnes.
No, Jimmy Barnes is a fictional character in the TV show Luther.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You mean Lucifer, though.
Oh, I do. Very different television shows.
So we never talked, actually did that episode on MTDA, but I'm sure we talked about it. But for those of you who don't remember, the villain of the first episode of Lucifer is a guy who they repeatedly refer to as Jimmy Barnes, and you don't see him until, like, near the end of the episode, and we just watched the whole time assuming they meant, you know, real actual rock
person.
Star.
Jimmy Barnes. From Cold Chisel.
Yes.
But tragically, no, they just made a different music celebrity.
With his exact name, and they consistently referred to him by his full name.
Oh yeah, that was the bit Anyway, how are you?
It'd be like if you had a one-off character in your detective fiction show and you just kept calling him Barack Obama, but it wasn't related to Barack Obama.
No, but you exclusively called him Barack Obama.
Or Hussein Obama.
I knew you were going to do that.
I'm good. How are you?
I thought you just hadn't heard me.
I just had more important things to say.
I'm good. I'm good. Been gone to the gym, which is out of character.
Development. Storylines.
Yeah.
What's Regan going to get up to at the gym this season?
Weights and interval training is the answer to that.
She's going to get hella swole.
Hella swole.
I went to my first cardio class in about 2 weeks on Monday.
Did you want to die a lot?
Yes. And I wasn't used to it because that's normally my good class. So I was like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
So, Regan.
Yeah.
This is our murder mystery recap and discussion podcast. And today, what did we recap and discuss?
We watched another episode of Death in Paradise. I used to hate it and then I loved it. And now I'm back to hating it because I can never fucking solve the fucking murder.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say you're back to hating it because this episode was kind of bad.
This episode was bad, but mostly just frustrated with myself and my own detective skills.
Wow.
Yeah. It is a television show about stuffy English detective D.I. Richard Poole, who, for some reason that I've forgotten, has to live on a tropical paradise island.
I think it was kind of a Hot Fuzz situation where everyone else in London hated him, so they reassigned him.
Right. I feel like this whole TV show is best summed up by these three consecutive lines from my plot notes today. What a surprise, Richard hates it. Dead. Jaunty credits.
Yeah.
That's the show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Also maybe something about the island being idyllic.
Well, I feel like that's implied by the
title. That's true. Hey, unless it was in heaven.
Ooh. But then you can't have death, can you?
I don't know.
Works.
I've never been.
Me neither.
Did you know, I heard this from my mum recently. You know how at a certain point, D.I. Richard Poole leaves the show and is replaced by Colin, God of Sex?
Yes.
Apparently he's now left the show and has been replaced by Ardal O'Hanlon, aka Father Dougal.
Oh, that's interesting development.
Yeah. It's a third Barnaby.
What?
Third Barnaby?
What's that?
You know how they replaced Barnaby in Midsummer Murders with another Barnaby?
I did not know that, no.
Well, they did.
Is that an accepted phrase in the murder mystery community?
It is now.
Like, we make it so.
Number one. Okay, so let me break it down about Death in Paradise and why Richard Poole can't swim.
Yes, go.
We cracked upon this idea in an early episode. We haven't seen him do it ever, but we did see him get in a boat and be very afraid of the water.
We did.
Multiple times, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, I think at least twice.
What I want is an episode where, I'm going to say, Camille is leaving the island on a boat and he Samwise Gamgee style runs into the water after her and she has to fish him out.
Okay. Yep, I like that. I like that. Like, I don't actually know what you're referencing from Lord of the Rings, but I believe and respect you.
Okay, so at the end of Fellowship of the Ring, Frodo is leaving everyone and Sam's like, of course you are, and I'm coming with you. And then he runs into the river and almost drowns because he can't swim.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that's the one.
The lower class hobbit almost drowns.
Classic.
But we're not here to litigate hobbit swimming. We're here to solve a murder. Whose murder?
Yes.
The murder in episode 6 of Death in Paradise, Music of Murder.
Yeah. Wait, so there's 7 episodes in this season.
Oh, sorry, episode 7. Lucky for some.
Is this the last episode of the season?
This is the second last.
So we're watching, this is our fourth one in a row, but we're watching another one to finish off the season.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, got it.
Showing that classic Mystery Twins Detective Agency memory that you're famous for, Regan. Nobody ever gets in, nobody ever comes out.
Oh, don't be mean. If you look at my fucking mystery envelope this week, I've got all of the elements of the murder written down. I just didn't put them together. I'm so mad.
All of the pieces are there up on the whiteboard.
Literally, they're literally on the whiteboard of my life.
You're doing what a Moaning Myrtle did last week, just having your gyrations being like, and then the roadie killed him.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, kill who, you might ask? Well, I'll tell you, this episode's about some sort of voodoo rock band doing a comeback tour and then murders afoot.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that as a concept?
I hate it.
Great, me too. I think I liked it less than that one episode of Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, where I think a man shot a man with a dart from a trumpet.
The one about the opera? No, the one in the jazz club.
Yeah.
I liked both of those more than this.
So our people of interest this week are...
Yeah.
File
Did
noises.
Did you say you? I said, oh, no, you're opening
Our people of interest this week are you.
No, that was... Sorry, let's make case opening noises.
Eric, ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. Hmm, a clue. Inconclusive. Okay. D.I. Richard Poole plays Ben Miller. No, other way around. Ben. D.I. Richard Poole goes deep cover to pretend to be a famous actor / comedian.
Is he?
Is he not?
I have no idea.
He's been in 2 Johnny English movies.
Oh, well, in that case.
But I wasn't going to go into credits for these 4 guys in this episode because I feel like we've explored all the interesting ones that we know about.
Absolutely.
Ben Miller plays D.I. Richard Poole. Sarah Martins plays D.S. Camille Bordy. Danny John Jules plays Officer Dwayne Myers. And Gary Carr plays Officer Fidel Best.
Yep.
They are here. They are friendly. They are mean to each other almost constantly, but they are a good team.
Yeah, they're particularly mean to Fidel this episode.
Well, Fidel spends the whole episode in the doghouse for making a simple mistake at the start.
Yeah.
Our victim this episode is... Okay, so one of the things I hate about this episode is none... Ooh, I think of the 5 or so episodic cast members, well, one of them has a surname.
Well, 2 of them have a surname.
Go on.
Because, well, there was Sully, who was the victim.
Yep.
Are you counting him?
Not a surname.
No, but they refer to his wife as Evita Jackson, so presumably he's also...
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Completely missed that. Well, wasn't in their IMDb credits, so fuck me.
Oh, okay. Because I was at the point where I was like, oh god, I should really start writing down all of everyone's names, but I missed them after they do the interviews with the bandmates. And then Richard is conveniently like, Evita Jackson, wife, Curtis, guitar player, Eddie, keys, bass player, Renwood, keys player. And I was like, thanks, man. Thanks for that. Yep. That's very helpful.
So those are some of the people I'll be giving credits for in a moment.
Exactly.
So Evita, okay, so our victim is Solomon or Solly. No last name as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, fair.
And they even make a big deal of introducing him at the concert that they have at the start of the episode. And they're like, the man you've been waiting for, Solomon. Solly. Trail off.
Oh my god, do they?
I almost felt like, I may have missed it, but I almost felt like there was a loud noise obscuring them saying his last name.
That is amazing.
So Solly is the front man of this voodoo-themed, like, rock band?
I guess.
The song that we hear at the concert seems to have a lot of, like, old church organ-style keyboard in it.
Yeah.
Like at the start of Tunnel of Love by Dire Straits.
I mean, I'm not 100% sure I know what that sounds like.
Someone out there might.
Yeah.
Solly's played by Johan Myers, who played Giscard in The Medallion, which I'm pretty sure was one of those Jackie Chan is a bumbling oaf who gets a gadget or magical thing that turns him into a karate master movies.
That
you know, like
chestnut.
The tuxedo.
Yeah. I wasn't being sarcastic. I was like, yeah, that is indeed an old
chestnut. Or in that one remake or pseudo remake or adaptation of Journey to the West where he plays a drunk and the drunk turns him into a kung fu master.
What?
He was like a drunken fist sort of guy, so he just got hammered and then fought Jet Li.
Okay, sure.
He also played Stanley the Knife Abbott in The Bank Job.
What's that?
Some heist movie.
I do love a good heist movie.
I think when I wrote this, I was thinking of the remake of The Italian Job where they all drive those little minis.
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
Is that any good?
I have no idea.
Great. I love how neither of us have seen
any
movies.
Nope, we have not.
Sully's widow is Evita apparently Jackson, played by Sarita Chowdhury, excuse my pronunciation, who also played Anna Ran in Lady in the Water and Egeria in The Hunger Games Mockingjay.
Oh, nice.
You seen that?
I think so. That's the one where her dress goes on fire.
I think that was like The Girl on Fire or something.
Ah, okay.
Unless it happens in multiple ones. It's also the one that was split into two.
Okay, then no, I haven't. Have I? I don't know. I read the book, so I know what happens. I think I just didn't bother.
Okay. Did I win The Hunger Games?
I was so mad at the end of The Hunger Games that I was just like, I'm fucking done with this.
Go on.
It's got a stupid ending. The ending negates the entirety of the last three books.
Oh, of the franchise as a whole. Yeah. Do they all decide, you know what, we overthrew that oppressive regime, now let's start planning the next Hunger Games.
I don't remember that, but like, I don't want to spoil it if people, it's been a while.
Spoiler alert for the Hunger Games, which I'm pretty sure no one cares about anymore.
If you do, then fucking skip ahead 30 seconds.
30 years.
Her sister dies. And like, the whole point of the whole thing was that she like volunteered so that her sister wouldn't have to do the Hunger Games and die. And then her sister gets killed in the end anyway.
But then really, isn't the whole society like her little sister by the end of it?
I mean, kind of. And also like, isn't capitalism just the Hunger Games?
Yeah.
But also,
no jokes there, just true.
I hated it. I got really mad when that happened. I was like, fuck this book. I wasted like 5 hours of my life reading this series. Luckily, I read really quickly, so I didn't waste too much of my life.
Oh, I'm Regan. I can read so quickly.
So quickly. When I was in Spain recently, I read like a book a day. It was actually
in Spanish.
It was not in Spanish, Jesus. It was fucking magical, though. I was just like, oh, I have nothing to do today except lie by the pool and read a book. Oh my god, it was so good.
I'm so fucking angry at you. I want to do that.
It was the first actual holiday I have taken since I moved to England 3 years ago.
Another character is Curtis.
Why are you just ignoring
his characteristics?
The fact that are you not proud that I've been on a holiday? Are you mad at me?
Both.
Fair. That's real friendship when you're like, I respect the thing you did, but I also just am jealous.
But I also hate you for it.
Yeah.
Speaking of hating you for it, Curtis's characteristics are that he plays the guitar and hates everyone else in the band.
And he has a snake.
Oh yeah, Curtis has a snake.
That's very important.
He's an ophidiologist.
That means he likes snakes.
That's not what the word was, but yeah, he likes snakes.
Yeah. You know who doesn't like snakes in a turnout for the
Me.
Books? Richard Poole.
They might eat his gecko friend.
Oh my god, we didn't see the gecko this episode and the snake was in his house. Coincidence?
Spoilers. He's played by Ray Fearon, who played Père Robert in the 2017 Beauty and the Beast.
Sure.
And also Carlo de Medici in Da Vinci's Demons. And also Nathan Cooper in 84 episodes of Coronation Street.
Hey.
I bet if we clocked up how many people were in hundreds of episodes of Coronation Street or EastEnders or whatever that have been on episodes of this show, we would be in well into the thousands by now.
Definitely.
Another band member is Eddie. He's the bassist and also co-songwriter with Solly. And also the one who got the band back together in a montage that I'm disappointed we didn't get to see.
Yeah, I know. I wanted that. I wanted the flashback.
Solly, we're getting the band back together because you're going broke because you're not making money anymore.
Classic.
Let's see, what's his deal? He's the only white guy in the band.
Yep.
He's Irish, I think.
Yes, I believe so.
And he says and does very little in the episode.
Yep.
Walking that back, he says very little in the episode. he's played by Keith Duffy, who also played Kieran McCarthy in 312 episodes of Coronation Street. And Nigel Evans in Robocroc.
What?
Now, I didn't want to look up what that is, because I'm sure it can't live up to my dreams.
Oh no, I want to look it up.
I want it to be a shot-for-shot remake of RoboCop, but the robot is also a crocodile.
Okay, well, it's got its own entry on the Movie Monster Wiki. Do you want to know how many
sure.
stars?
That reputable news source, I'm going to guess between 1 and 2.
3 out of 10.
Oh. Which rounds down to 1.5 out of 5.
Exactly. The Robocroc is the main antagonist of the 2013 American horror film Robocroc. The Robocroc is a cyborg crocodile created when a government space probe burned up on re-entry and released a swarm of military nanobots into a local zoo, which transformed the crocodile they infested into a mechanical monster.
God, I hate when that happens. It's got nanites in it. We're going to have to put it down.
Although called Robocroc, the creature is technically a cyborg and not a full robot.
Give it time. Those nanites can only work so fast.
His abilities are powerful jaws. Oh my god. That
sounds like
terrible.
Me. I got powerful jaws.
Yeah?
The final member of the band.
Did you also get infested by some military nanobots?
Sure did. I'm all like beep boop.
Beep boop.
The final member of the band, as Regan mentioned, is Renoir. He says and does even less than anyone else in the band.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't know shit.
He's the keyboardist,
the keys,
and he's... Yeah. He says in the introductory interview montage that he likes to stay out of the politics of it all and just wants to play the keyboard, which 100% means he's either not going to be a character or he's going to be the murderer.
Yeah, exactly.
Which would it be? Stay tuned and find out next time on Mystery Twins Detective Agency. He's played by Robbie G, who played Mr.
Go on.
You go.
I was going to say, was that you like merging your air raid sirens with our theme music?
No, it was just me doing the theme music.
Oh, okay.
Yikes.
No, because it started off with like, wow, wow, and so I sort of tuned out because I thought you were doing
air raids. That's how the song goes.
No, it does, but you know how you go like, wow, 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 so I thought you were sort of like merging the two things, and I was like, damn, yes, I'm here for this mashup.
Don't think I've ever done that, actually.
The air raid sirens?
Yeah, that doesn't sound like something I'd do.
Are you joking?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were being serious. I was like, I literally have the receipts we record and publicize this podcast.
Oh, please. We've recorded so many podcasts together, you could just splice anything I've said to Kithra and make me say anything by this point.
Actually, that's very true. Anyway, go on. What's he done?
Hello, Regan. Here is my bank account details.
Do we say
that? And then you would have me say my bank account details.
I'd have to get them first, and that seems like a lot of effort.
No, because I'm saying them. That's how you're getting them. I'm telling you.
But I'd have to get them to know what numbers to splice.
No, because I'm telling you.
I don't... What? What? I don't... What's happening in this bit?
Okay, Robbie G also played Mr. Barnes in Paddington 2.
Paddington
which my
2.
Housemates tell me the best movie of the year.
Some of that was filmed at my former employer.
Are you in it?
No. We're obviously not allowed in the bits where they're filming. The number of celebrities I could have met, aka Paddington.
Yeah, you could have given him some marmalade.
I could have. We could have been best friends. But everyone's a friend of like Paddington, is what I've gathered from Twitter.
I feel like there's a reality out there where you're an anthropomorphic stuffed animal.
Aw, thanks.
He also played Khan in Underworld and Vinny in Snatch.
What Snatch? That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought you would know.
Ah, God. Us never having watched anything strikes again.
Oh, what a good podcast.
I know. We're so cultured and knowledgeable.
Finally, Michelle Bouchon is Sully, is a young woman and photographer who's hanging around Sully at the start of the episode. What are the details of their steamy relationship? We'll find out soon. She's played by Rebecca Scroggs.
That is quite a name.
Yes, that sounds like a name I would make up when you're putting me on the spot. It's Rebecca Scroggs. She played Fiona Tosh McIntosh in EastEnders. Didn't take down how many episodes?
Well, it's no Coronation Street, is it? We're already on about 500 episodes of Coronation Street just from this episode.
Yeah. Shall we just get into it now?
Let's do it.
Okay, we open. There's a carnival. There's fireworks. There's a parade. It's going great. Everyone's having a great time. There's no sort of festival or anything going on. It's just this concert's happening. But you'd be forgiven for assuming otherwise.
Yeah, it's just because it's their first concert in 10 years.
In 100 years.
In 1,000,000 years.
Since the dawn of time, this particular band... whose name I can't remember, haven't played an act. But tonight, on a very small island, they're back.
But they're from that island, aren't they?
Yeah, I know. But still. I think they're called the Venerators.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it started with V.
And their gimmick is that they all wear, like, voodoo makeup?
Yeah, there's no way to say that without sounding as... very ignorant as we are.
Actually, I did write down what kind it was, but it's later in my notes, so I'll point it out when I get to it.
All right.
But also, I don't think it's unfair to say voodoo makeup, considering at one point they do say, and I wrote down the quote verbatim because it was crazy, that Sully liked to play up the gimmick of the band and that he talked about how he'd sleep in the coffin to recharge his voodoo powers.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Voodoo Force.
Yeah, that was during the band interview, wasn't it? Yeah.
Where do you get your Voodoo Force from, Reg?
Napping.
In?
A comfortable bed.
Whoa, you're hardcore.
I am.
I just
want to
put this out there, that Voodoo Force... I'm not to dodge the question, but I do want to put it out there that Voodoo Force sounds like it could be the name of a 90s cartoon that was about like a team of voodoo themed superheroes.
I feel like this show's in one season had 2 episodes about voodoo.
This one was about music, though. It was just about voodoo-themed music.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like the first one seemed terribly appropriative, and this one, I mean, yeah, they're like, we literally just use voodoo as a gimmick to sell
records.
Yeah,
this one's about people who are terribly appropriative.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, it just seems like lazy writing that they're like, oh, well, we're on this exotic island, so what's an exotic island thing? Voodoo, you know?
Let's act this out. Let's be the Death in Paradise writers trying to come up with the plot for this episode.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so what have we already done? We've done rich white people locked room murder in their mansion. So good. We've done rich people on the island.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like we've hit the rich people angle a few times. What if we try something new? What about like very wealthy rock stars?
Oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds fun, but like, how are we going to make it about the island? Because it's always got to be about the island.
I don't care about that, but what about, you know, like Kiss, the band Kiss?
Yeah. Yeah.
What if they all wore makeup in their first scene and when they were introduced, and then after that, it was really hard to tell which was which because they never reintroduced them.
Oh, I like that, because then that raises some mystery about who was wearing someone else's makeup, and that's how we don't know who the killer
was. Yeah, it's going to make it so much harder for the viewers to figure out who the killer
was.
Yeah,
I love it.
But what sort of theme should we go with? Like, you know, Kiss have, like, Starman and Catboy and Gene Simmons, who's, you know, the biggest monster of all.
Is he?
I don't care. He's got a big tongue, like a Yoshi.
Ugh. I'm just so distracted by you saying that Gene Simmons has a big tongue like a Yoshi. That's,
and scene.
Yeah, we're never going to be able to say anything funnier than that line.
Bow, 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 bow. Help me.
Oh no, the theme music got you. That's what they mean when they say the rhythm's going to get you.
Yep. Everyone's partying. Dwayne is having a great time. He loves this band. Fidel is also there. Camilla's also there. They're all like, oh man, love this band.
Also, they're all dressed in like appropriately festive summery clothes. And they're like, where's the inspector? And Camille's like, he had to go get some air while they're outdoors. And he's there.
Oh, we also do see a quick shot of the man that we'll learn is Solly getting into our first shot of him in the very start of the episode. We see him climbing into a coffin and kissing an amulet as he does so. And what a way to open the episode before we know anything about this voodoo gimmick.
Yep. Kisses a pendant and then lies down in a coffin.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Richard's outside and He's like, oh, I'm waiting for my tea. I hear a woman crying. And then, did you have a problem with the way this bit worked?
Yes.
Was it the same problem I had?
I don't know. What was the problem he had?
Well, Richard, like, goes to look around the corner at this woman who's crying that he hears. And we cut to a camera shot of, like, just her feet and, like, the big shoes she's wearing.
Uh-huh.
And then it seems to be that Richard's only seen what the camera's seen in that shot, because he's like, there was a woman crying. And then, like, in a lot of the early stages of the investigation, he describes her shoes and sees if people have those big shoes.
Yeah, I thought I must have missed something, because I was like, how to see her shoes around the corner, she would have had to have, like, 1 foot stuck out.
Like, I think Camille does come to get Richard. As soon as he rounds the corner, so he probably doesn't get a good look, but he would have had to have been like, okay, there's someone around the corner here. I'm just going to do what I always do when I meet someone. I'll start looking at their feet and work my way up.
Yeah, it was silly. So, I mean, to gloss over that, literally every time they meet a female suspect, he asks to see their shoes. And everyone makes a lot of jokes about him having a foot fetish.
I missed that, but I'm not surprised they do. Fun fact, the most common phrase followed by an actress's name in a detective's notebook is actress's name, feet.
Yep, that's a solid fact that we've just given you there. That's an insight into the world of detecting.
Anyway, back in the party, Richard's got no earplugs and he's sad about it in terms of his body language.
He does have earplugs because he takes them out at the end of the thing.
Oh, then I guess it's just too loud for crusty old Richard.
Yeah, that's the thing, because then when the murder happens, he takes his earplugs out. And I was like, you've just been whinging this whole time. Maybe you should have taken your suit off, sir. Have we ever seen him in anything other than a suit or his very sensible button-up matching pajamas?
I was going to say that. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I don't think, like, I just want to see him in a tropical shirt one time.
Maybe in his last episode, before I assume I hope so. He is murdered.
And then Colin has to come in to solve his murder.
Yeah, and then he'll get murdered, and Dougal has to come in and solve his murder.
It's the circle of death in paradise. Lucky there's a lot of notes that you hold in that song, so I could think about how I was going to continue the lyrics.
Remember who you are, Reagan.
You are a detective.
Anyway, so a bunch of pallbearers bring out a coffin when they're playing a song, which we later learn is called Serpent Swing, and they bring out the coffin, and it's all like, introducing Sully! And he doesn't come out of the coffin. Oh, first he just doesn't come out of the coffin when the song reaches the point, so they're like, oh, I guess he wants the intro. Introducing Sully! Nothing happens. And then this guy, who we later learn is the roadie, but at first I thought was just some rando audience member in a purple t-shirt.
This guy looks suspicious, because he looked kind of...
Yeah, who's this this crusty murderer in a purple t-shirt?
Yeah, he looks kind of like glassy-eyed drunk, and then he just reaches forward and pulls the coffin open. And then later when we find out, you know, he's the roadie who's in charge of, like, getting him onto the stage, then fair enough. But at the time, it's just this, like, random old man who just is like, well, he's not coming out, best open the coffin, which is just doesn't...
Mm. While we're on the roadie, though, and since we'll probably never discuss him again in this episode, I do want to highlight that he has the best line of the whole series so far in the accusation parlor.
Oh, God, yes, 100%.
So Richard's running down how everyone here could have done it and had a reason to do it. Oh, almost everyone, not you. And he dismissively waves at the other roadie who's just doing some setup for the wake they're about to have. And he's like, I could have done it. He could have owed me money. And then Richard's like, did he? No.
Yeah, it's so good.
He just wanted to be included.
I know, bless him.
But yeah, this rando roadie opens up the coffin and Sully's in there. He's dead. That's the first thing you notice about him. The second thing you notice about him is that he has a gunshot in his head and that his arms are all crossed in like a Dracula sleeping pose.
Yeah. Ba 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 bum ba 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 bum ba 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 ba.
I liked
the opening credits.
Thank you. I liked how even though Dwayne was just like rocking out and like being super into the band before that happened, immediately after he just went like super professional, like, all right, we're the police, everyone get back.
Yeah, first one up there and everything.
Yeah. In his, I want to highlight this, in his, like, gothic mariachi outfit.
What was he wearing? Like a poncho.
Yeah, and like a one of those, like, bullfighter mini sombreros.
Was he? Oh, God. Okay. So we actually don't see the gunshot wound until now. You know, at first you just see him dead in the coffin. But now we see there's a gunshot wound to his temple. And Camille's like, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's in the gun is in the coffin. And Richard's like, don't be stupid, as she pulls the gun out of the coffin. Camille also says that the fact that his arms are folded across his chest means that he must have been murdered by someone close to him.
Mm-hmm. And they also find that amulet, what he kissed, and those three clues.
I don't
clues.
Think it was an amulet. I think it's just a pendant. I think an amulet is like, hold something. I'm going to Google it.
I want to say that an amulet is a necklace with magic powers.
Oh, yeah, okay, no, it is. Yep, you're right.
In The Amulet of Samarkand, part of the Bartimaeus trilogy, amulets and talismans are two kinds of magical implements. Talismans have to be actively worked, whereas amulets are passive.
Well, there you go.
Also, I always thought they should make those into a movie, but they didn't.
Books?
Mm.
I've never heard of them. But no, my important thing is that when you just Google the word amulet, the first YouTube result is from Sophia the First on Disney Junior. All right.
Sure.
Okay, we've been going for 40 minutes and we've barely started talking about the episode.
Yeah, let's keep cracking it along. Okay, so these three items, the amulet, the gun, and the pose, like, inform a lot of the investigation that's to come. So then we do a quick, cool interview montage of all the band members and his wife, Evita. Oh, no, it's not his wife, Evita. Get to that in a moment. Where, it would be a conversation of reasonable length with each of them, and then it would cut to Richard asking a question and then transition to the next person answering it. I like those sort of sequences, yeah. Though they were normally a bit more fast-paced than this one.
Yeah, this one was just, like, three separate interviews.
That segued apart. We learned that Eddie got the band back together and that everyone just assumed this was a reunion gig who came to it, but he wanted to do like a big comeback tour, a new album and all that.
Yes.
We also see that we also meet Curtis and his snake. And at this point I wrote in my notes, joke mystery envelope, the snake got in the coffin with him and shot him.
Liam S. Smith. I also wrote that as a joke mystery envelope.
Yay!
Synergy!
But unfortunately, this show isn't that stupid.
I wish it was sometimes.
So the other thing, other than their character profiles, we learn from this whole thing, is that 15 minutes before every show, Solly goes and gets in the coffin backstage and lies in it, like, to not be disturbed, and then everyone goes and unwinds without him, because he's a real prick. And since he died in the coffin, that gives the killer a 15-minute window in which to have gone in and shot him.
Yes.
And then Fidel makes Richard really angry because he let Evita go home because her husband just died.
And as we learned from the basic rules of murder, you always got to suspect the wife.
Mm-hmm. Suspect the wife and the mysterious woman with the loud shoes who Richard begins to obsess with at
but
this
also
point.
But also we speak to the roadie who says that he went in 2 minutes before Solly was meant to be on stage. Just to be like, what's up? So it was actually only a 13-minute window.
His job was to be like, true, yeah. His job is to go in and be like, Solly, we're going on now, knock, knock. No response. Didn't think nothing of it.
Yeah, which is fine.
And no one else was allowed to go in.
And there was also a mysterious photographer.
Yeah, this young
woman. No one knows anything about her.
And then we get see like a flashback shot. Okay, we see this photo being taken from several different angles, each focusing on a different person. We see like the roadie just like leering in the background, being this bigger creeper guy in this photo being taken flashback. And then we also see it from the other angle where Solly's wife is there being like, ugh, don't think much of this young woman.
Yep.
Back at the police station.
Bah, bah. But
they were all like, why kill him with a gun? Gun loud, make harder to do. Easier to do with poison or a snake or a knife.
Yep.
And also, why did the killer take off his pendant, which in all these album covers he's wearing and not just holding?
It's a mystery.
It is. It's a murder mystery. Richard's all, let's listen to the music to understand the man so we can understand why someone would want to kill him. And then he's like, I hate this music. Dwayne, you listen to it instead.
And it turns out all the lyrics are about monsters and women.
Two of my favourite subjects.
He was a bit of a playboy, as it seems. So they go to visit the wife.
He was also a bit of a misogynist, as it seems.
Oh, yes. Well, I feel like they go hand in hand. If you're married and also a playboy, you clearly don't respect women.
Fair. Oh, by the way, it was Obi makeup.
Ah, there you go.
Yes. So they go see Evita. There's like an artful shot of a rainstorm starting, and then at the end of this scene, there's another artful shot of time passing and the rainstorm finishing.
Art.
I feel like someone wanted to have some fun this episode with the cinematography. What do we learn from Evita?
Well, she doesn't really seem to care. She's just packing up. She's like, I got no need for his things anymore. Basically.
Yeah, I got a funeral plan. Don't know if I'm sad,
yeah,
but
like,
whatever.
Grief's not going to help me get all this shit done.
Mm-hmm. Then Curtis, the snake lover, shows up and she's all like, I'm going to cry into your neck. And he's all like, I've got flowers for you. Will they?
Well, that's the real question, isn't it?
Also, was I misreading things or was there a lot, like an inordinate amount of Richard Camille sexual tension in
there
this
was
episode?
So much.
It was bonkers.
Yeah, it was absolutely ludicrous.
She's gonna be so sad when he dies.
But she's left as well, hasn't she?
Yeah, I think so. Well, she was probably so heartbroken.
Exactly. Or
after he drowned.
They run off into the sunset together. Or they die together like the couple on the Titanic.
No.
The old couple.
Oh, okay. actually, yeah, what happens is they're both clinging to a door and she pushes him off it and he can't swim, so he dies.
Yes, there we go. We've come full circle.
Okay, they go back to the police station. They regroup for a bit. They're like, everyone's got an alibi and they're all each other's alibi. Tisk. Also, no evidence from the gun coming back. No serial number or anything. How are we going to find this mysterious photographer woman? She's not going to just walk in here. Oh, she did.
Yeah, Richard,
very funny.
It literally goes, Richard, she's not going to just walk in here and say, woman at the door from off screen. Hello? Ugh. Lazy.
I hear you're looking for me. Her name's Michelle Bouchon. Do you want to just do her whole deal now since we're running kind of long?
Also, I guessed this. I guessed this, so good job, me. Thank you.
Me too. Me too.
Oh, fuck off. I just want to be good at something.
But I did.
I know.
We can both be good at it.
Yeah.
What you mean is you just want to be better than me.
Once in this entire fucking 77 episodes have I gotten the mystery envelope when you didn't.
Do you have?
Just once.
Oh, okay.
One time. Please, no one actually do the statistics. I don't think my poor little heart can take it.
No one. We don't have enough listeners for someone to be that obsessive.
Oh, don't be mean. So it turns out that she is Sully's daughter. He left her mum.
Whoa.
And so she was raised by herself. Her mum's dead. So then when her mum was dying, she was like, by the way, Sully's your dad. So she went to find
him. Here's a silver version of his pendant.
They had, yes.
No, gold version. Because Sully wore the gold one in his early work, and then after he had a baby, he gave her the gold one and then kept a silver, and she gave him a silver one.
Yes, 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 that's what happened.
And there's like a brief thing about how like between when he went in and when he was found, the colour of the pendant changed, but that's what the deal with that is, and it's all just a big red herring because she doesn't actually have that much to do with the murder.
No, so what happened was, should we just go into this now?
Yeah.
She went in to see him when he was in his coffin and he had already been murdered then. But she thought it was a suicide because she just saw the gunshot wound and the gun. So she crossed his arms.
And then put the lid on the coffin.
And put the lid on the coffin. Because she was like, I know I should have like called the police or something, but I just, you know, he always said he wanted, oh no, it was because she'd watched her mum die in hospital surrounded by people that she didn't care about. And she knew that Sully had always said he wanted to go doing what he loved. So she was like, yeah, all right.
He wanted to go out being carried to stage in a coffin, which was what he loved.
Just love being carried, you know?
That sounds like me when I play Overwatch. Anyway, gamer jokes. Moving on.
Because everyone else in the team is carrying you?
Yeah, okay. But that was the true joke. I'm actually very good at video games.
Well, I was going to say that sounds like me doing group projects. JK, I'm the one that carries everyone else. I'm really good at projects. That's why I'm a project manager. Anyway. Yeah, it's all making sense now. Isn't life the biggest mystery for us to solve?
Isn't life the biggest murder-suicide?
Oh, that's sad now. You've made it sad.
There's a brief moment where all the other detectives are like, she was right, it was a suicide. And Richard's like, no, it's not. Dwayne, get me a gunshot residue analysis on his hand. Okay, case still open.
Oh, because
yeah,
also
no gunshot residue on his hand.
The gun only had his fingerprints on it. So Richard was like, touching a gun isn't the same as firing a gun. That's why he got the residue.
Yeah. There's some there's a brief subplot where, or subscene where Camille gives her exposition about how she also lost her dad when she was six to young Michelle. But she's like, oh no, he just ran out in the family. He's not dead, but who gives a shit about him? And there's this really weird bit here where they're just like this rando white dude in Camille's mum's cafe who had so much... He was framed so prominently in all these bits. It was like, is this guy involved in the case or is he just some rando? Because why is he getting so much screen time? Is that why they
framed him? Just to plant the seed for a future episode?
Surely not.
Surely not. Unless. Anyway, what happens next?
It's nighttime. Someone breaks into Richard's house and puts Curtis's snake in it.
Yeah. Unconfirmed whether the snake has eaten the gecko friend.
Everyone comes over and is like, wow, Richard, sure, good thing no one murdered you. Anyway, sexual tension.
Yeah, Camille's like, do you want me to stay over?
And Dwayne's like, I'll sleep on the couch, but I snore a lot.
Yeah.
They go to Curtis's house. Also the next day, Camille puts a plastic snake on his chair and he shrieks and then she laughs a lot.
Yes. She's like, who would do that? He's like, we're the only people here. She's like, oh, well, you got me there.
Giggle, giggle, giggle.
Lol, 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 sexual tension.
Yeah, they go see Curtis, who's, like, torn his house apart looking for his snake.
Sexy.
Sure.
Well, yeah, because Richard comes to the door and is like, hey, can we see your snake? And he's like, is that meant to be a joke? And I thought he thought Richard was like, please whip out your penis. But the reason that he was like, is that a joke, is because he had lost the snake.
I did like how, and this is another fun cinematography thing, I guess, how there was a window and then, like, on a corner wall that moved, there was a window on the wall they had already passed before they knocked on the door, and they knock on the door, and then Curtis opens that window and sticks his head out. That's fun.
That was fun, actually. I did enjoy that.
Yeah, so his snake went missing, so there's a whole thing about how they're like, oh, you trying to threaten me with your snake? And he's all, nah, I love my snake. There's nothing I love more than the sexy slither of a lady snake. I wouldn't put my snake in your house if I thought I was the murderer. And they're all, what if you're double bluffing me? And he's like, do you think I'm that stupid? And they're all, no. And they're all like, you love Evita, and Evita loves you. And he's all like, what? And then he spends the rest of the episode being like, oh my. Rest of the scene, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, to be like, oh my god, do you think she does? Oh my god, can you pass her this note that says, do you like me, please circle yes or no?
And they both say yes.
Oh, what a power move. it's cute. He's like a little cute teenager. So, okay, is it just the accusation parlor now?
Almost. There's a brief subplot where Richard goes to... I say everything's a subplot. There's a brief scene where Richard makes Dwayne and Fidel go buy some bootleg music.
Oh, yeah.
Bootleg recording of the live show so he can listen to it and crack the case.
Get ready for me to yell about this bit.
We do learn that Fidel's wife is pregnant, so good on him.
I feel like we knew that.
Well, I'd forgotten.
Yeah, no, I'd forgotten as well. But when he said it, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure that did come up like 4 episodes ago.
Do you think there's going to be in the season finale a baby subplot?
Oh, probably, actually, because she had
because there was a false there was labor. A false yeah. labor scare.
Which was just farts, everyone. Don't worry.
So Richard listens to the music.
He listens to the studio version and then he listens to the bootleg and then he solves it.
Yeah, the song that they were playing as they brought Solly out.
Yes, obviously, because that's all they played at the concert.
I suppose you're only going to get through the one song before your front man comes out.
Yeah. So they go crash
Solly's wake to do the investigation parlor.
They do. That's fucked up.
It's like a pre-wake, though, because we see the actual wake later and it's like a big party. Yeah. It's like the sound test for the wake.
Yeah, they're just setting up for the wake.
The roadie's there.
The roadie's there, the band's there, Evita's there. Is Michelle there? I don't think so.
Yeah, she's there.
Okay.
Because they talk about how you might have wanted to kill him, because he walked out on your mum.
Yes.
But she didn't.
Yeah, so they outline everyone's motivations.
Evita's motivation is that Solly never wanted to have kids and then she found out that he had a kid.
Yeah. But also they're like, did he have life insurance? And she was like, no, he thought he would live forever. Mm-hmm. And they're like...
Yeah, and no savings because he thought he would live forever.
And the royalties from the music, the band didn't get any. It just went to the singer and the songwriter, or the two songwriters, who were Solly and Eddie.
Which one's Eddie?
The bass player.
For the benefit of our listener.
The one white guy in the band, because obviously.
Ah.
Obviously, this whole
Curtis's
show
was motivation was that he loved Evita.
Yes.
And hated everyone. And Renoir doesn't matter.
Don't really have one, yeah. So, the smoking gun with which they pin Eddie is that...
That's what you do with a smoking gun, famously.
Richard's like, this band never plays a note wrong, which, all right, fuck off, firstly. Secondly...
also subcontext to this, before you do the smoking gun, is that when they went to go buy that bootleg, there was a new Greatest Hits album released posthumously, like, the day after he died. That's... So that would have taken a lot of admin to get that up and running prior to him being murdered.
That's right, yeah. So...
Smoking gun.
Smoking gun is that the band never plays a note wrong, and yet when you listen to the bootleg recording, when the coffin comes out, Eddie plays a wrong note. He should have played an A, and he plays an E.
Oh, now, those notes are completely different.
I have been studying music since I was 5 years old. I do not have perfect pitch. It's really fucking rare, or it takes a lot of work to train your ears to be able to pick out notes like that. And for someone who is such a killjoy as to D.I. Richard Poole, who doesn't even like music, there is no fucking way. There is no fucking... He could be like, that sounded wrong. Like, yeah, fine, you can do that. But... Even Dwayne didn't notice that he played a note wrong, and Dwayne, like, knows all that music off by heart. There is just no fucking way. There's no way. It made me really mad.
All right. I got nothing on this. I have the opposite of perfect pitch.
Exactly. Which is why
Pitch Perfect, starring me, Anna Kendrick.
Oh my god, you were Anna Kendrick this whole time?
Yep. That's me ripping off my mask.
I got that, actually. I followed that narrative.
Good Foley. Okay, so. Oh, man, Eddie, you did it. But how'd you do it? You were cropping champagne for everyone when he was in the coffee. Well, how'd he do it? He moved that clock.
Didn't just move it in the room, though. Moved the time on it.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Set the clock back 15 minutes.
How figure that out? Because there was a photographer daughter in the room with a timestamp on her camera, which they seized for evidence.
So they realised that the timestamp doesn't match up with the picture of the clock in the room, so it was actually only 8:35 when Solly went into the coffin, not 8:45.
Hmm.
And you know what else happened at 8:35?
Murder.
Fireworks.
Oh, cover up gunshot.
Yep.
I thought it was going to be that the sound test was covering up gunshot, but I suppose it would be pretty dumb to do a sound test 15 minutes before the show started.
Absolutely.
Mic check, maybe? I don't know.
Can't do a mic check without Solly.
Roadie could do it.
I guess, yeah. So.
Eddie does a big whole thing about how, like, so much reunion stuff, I'm going to be a genius because one of them's dead and the other one killed him. Also, there's a big announcement that their new CD's in the top 10 next week, and Renoir starts clapping and everyone looks at him.
Oh, yeah. That was when I was like, it definitely wasn't him. so that's that.
He goes mad. They take him away, boys. And everyone parties at the wake.
Except Richard, who refuses to dance with Camille.
But they're going to slow dance, but then as they're about to start, a big fast song starts and he immediately walks off the dance floor.
It was a bit of an abrupt end to the episode.
Yeah. It could have used 5 minutes or so of them fooling around in a boat. And I don't mean fooling around.
I was like, okay, you weirdo.
So, that is the end of the episode. No real B plot in this episode.
No, all A plot.
All A all the time. Regan, It's time to crack open our mystery envelopes. Do you want to go first?
Yep. 17 minutes 49.
Ooh, early.
It was a suicide, but how did he cross his arms? Also, that girl is Solly's daughter. And then a note before that was bandmate, because it had to be someone who knew he would be alone for 15 minutes. And then also, why a gun? And I was really fucking mad at the end because it was Guy Fawkes Night a couple of weeks ago. And also, fireworks aren't illegal here, so you can just buy them from the supermarket, which means that there's been fireworks going off constantly. And when we were walking to the pub on the night, fireworks night, we were like, man, this would be a great time to shoot someone because you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between a gunshot and a firework. So literally when there was a gun, I was like, oh man, I wish there'd been fireworks. And then when they shot, like, showed the shot of the first bit of the episode, I was like, fuck!
It does sound a bit like you just failed some sort of psychopath test, but I'm not going to put that on you.
No, but fireworks do, like, close up, because when people are just doing them in their backyard, like, they do just sound like gunshots.
Pop, pop, pop.
Yeah.
So you asked all the right questions.
Yeah, I just didn't, I'm so mad because I had all the bits, I just didn't thread them together. I bought the wool and I bought the pattern and I bought the knitting needles, but I didn't make the jumper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. It was the wrong trousers.
Exactly.
Oh, wait, no. A close shave.
They both work, to be fair.
I suppose. Anyway, 28 minutes. So because they had perfect alibis, only his prints are on the gun, I had to conclude that they were all in on it, except for maybe the roadie. Maybe he's out front doing the sound check or whatever, and they all go back and kill him. Maybe clean the gun after, plenty of time if there's no witnesses, or maybe they drug him and manipulate his fingies.
Ooh. The old finger manippy.
Anyway, I was wrong.
I'm glad.
I didn't write it down, so you'll just have to believe me on this, but I did guess the motive about, like, posthumous record sales.
I believe you.
Yay!
I mean, we've not been verifying each other's mystery envelopes, so I have actually just believed you every time that you guessed it correctly. So, you know, I don't see why I wouldn't believe this as well.
Fair enough. Also, I think the mystery envelope is not that we don't trust each other. It's just that is that's a trope in certain, like, mystery circles where someone opens up the envelope that had the solution on it the whole time.
Yeah, I know.
I'm saying for the listeners' edification, yours.
Yeah.
So we've already concluded that we will be watching Death in Paradise next time, so we don't need to do that segment.
Nah.
But I will tell you, the Netflix preview information for the last episode of season one of Death in Paradise.
Oh my god, do.
So the trailer has a whole bunch of stuff about, like, Richard wanting to go home and Dwayne, like, goes to bed with a woman and then she wakes up and she's got, like, pennies in her mouth and is dead. And the synopsis is, when a woman is found murdered, evidence at the scene of the crime points to Dwayne.
No.
Yes.
Not Dwayne. Oh my god, maybe this is Fidel's episode to step up.
Ooh. Can he
extradite?
Exonerate? Prove it. Can he exonerate his best/only friend and deliver his wife's baby in an elevator?
Find out next week. Oh, man.
Death in Paradise.
I'm excited for that.
All right. Shall we wrap it up?
Yeah. So you can catch us at MTDApod on Twitter or email us at mtdapod@gmail.com. Our theme music.
Sidebar, you'll never catch me.
Our theme music is In the Crowd by the Ears. And until next time, no yacht.
Hustle always wins.
Wow,